Achieving a gorgeous grin from home isn't a total mystery with BiteClear aligners. Just don't be surprised if all of your sleuthing friends start asking, "What's your secret?" Begin by ordering your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95. BiteClear aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces. Plus, they offer flexible financing, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Hi there, it's Julia Louis-Dreyfus. You may know me from my podcast called Wiser Than Me, where I talk to older women and get their wisdom from the front lines of life. I was amazed by how many people told me our show made them look forward to getting older, which is why I'm here to talk about season two of the show. Sally Field, Billie Jean King, Beverly Johnson, Ina Garten, Bonnie Raitt, just to name a few. All hail old women. Wiser Than Me season two is out now from Lemonada Media.
Man, that sunset is gorgeous.
Grill, patio, sunset. Hard to get better than that. Unless you're browsing Carvana's inventory while you soak it all in.
Oh, burger time.
So sit back, get comfortable. Carvana's got thousands of cars under $20,000 just waiting for you.
I could stay here forever.
Carvana, where car buying meets comfort meets convenience. Download the app or visit Carvana.com today.
Doug hates candy wrappers, screaming baby sticky seeds with 50 as in popcorn kernels in his teeth. There's still not one that he won't see, 'cause Doug loves movies.
Hey, everybody. My name is Doug, and I love movies.
This is Doug Loves Movies.
Very nice. That was kind of like singing. Wow, it sounds like I'm in some sort of arena, but it's a very big room for sure. But I don't know if I'm going to give any kind of like Lindbergh speech or something. We're coming to you for the first time from the Just for Laughs Festival in Montreal, Canada. We did it. We're in the Hyatt Grand Salon Opera. They usually do operas in this room. So it's going to be, I've got a great opera prepared for you guys today. It's Friday, July 26, 2014, Wolf of Wall Street Fight, Terminator 2, Judgment Day of the Dead Man, Walking Tall, The President's Men in Black, Fisher King, Ralph the Dog Day Afternoon, Delight, Sleep Perfect, Murder by Death Wish 3, Ami Ghost, World's End, of Watchmen Don't Leaving Las Vegas, Food Law, Jingling All the Way. Jingle All the Way. I wrote down Jingling All the Way. That's a totally different movie. Let me see your name tags, Montreal. Oh, my goodness. Is that Rob Ford? Who is that guy? Just some politician that's not Rob Ford? Okay. The Curious Case of Benedict Button. So your name is Button. Zoe Dark 30. I like that. 16 Kendalls. Life Aquatic, what'd you change on that? With Steve McCrimmon instead of Zizou. I like it. Oh, there's a Shaun of the Dead over there. But what's your name? Sarah. Oh, Sarah of the Dead. I get it. Wow, there's a lot of big ones, a lot of good ones. Well, thank you guys so much for bringing those. I saw one right there that's going to come in handy probably. From the corrections department, I don't know why... I thought that at 139 minutes, Once Upon a Time in America was over 3 hours long. 2 hours and 19 minutes is, by my calculation, about 41 minutes shy of 3 hours. You know, that's true no matter how high you are. And I don't know if that info would have affected the outcome of the game we're playing, but I also don't care. Yeah, who cares? Has anybody here today coming to see the Benson Interruption tomorrow night? Awesome. It's like right across the street, I guess, and it's something called L'Astral. Every show in during Just for Laughs has to be at a place that the comedians, when they're telling people where their show is, they don't know how to fucking say it. I was watching the Opie and Jim Norton show this morning, and he cannot figure out how to say Jizze or whatever it is. It's kind of weird. You put one of the dirtier comedians in a club that he's just walking around saying he's at the Jizz Club. But he's not here today, but I've got five great guests and a co-interrupter lined up for tomorrow night that you guys are really going to enjoy, and four awesome people here today. I would dare say four of my favorites in the whole world of comedy. Yeah, exactly. Canada and the States are represented by these guests. Please give a big warm welcome to Sean Cullen, Al Madrigal, Greg Proops, and TJ Miller.
Keep that going.
Hey.
Yes. Don't stop believing.
Keep it going. It's 1:30 in the afternoon, you guys. Fucking get crazy.
The bar is not open at the Hyatt until 2. That's how you know Montreal is awesome.
Yeah, they were open last night till 3, and then you could still stay for like 2 or 3 more hours after that if you want to.
Yeah, you can. I mean, you'd be staying 11 hours, but this podcast isn't about math.
No, we've already discussed that when I thought that a movie that's 2 hours and 19 minutes long is over 3 hours. Probably just felt like it was. But that's TJ Miller, everybody. Let's hear it for him.
From Yogi Bear 3D.
There's a lady there that's got a name tag she made, especially if you were here. Leah, yeah!
She's got one for every single person. Greg Proops, yeah!
No, just you, buddy.
Yeah.
I am so happy that you're here. It's been a while since you've been on the show. I had to come all the way up to Montreal to get you, and because you're the star of the Emmy-nominated Silicon Valley. Yeah.
And the Oscar-nominated
Transformers 4. That's exactly what I have written down on this piece of paper. Because it'll get a special effects nomination for sure. And you're going to be in a fucking Oscar-nominated movie.
It was especially affecting to the audience that it was an hour and 45 minutes long. That's what it's being nominated for.
I was thinking I wanted to pitch to you, to make it sound more highfalutin when you talk about it, highfalutin, you should refer to it as...
I like highfluting.
You should...
Only the top of the piccolo gets played.
You should call it Transformers 4 Age of Distinction.
Yeah, yeah. That does make it better.
Sounds like a Merchant Ivory movie.
Bay should have known that any mention of extinction is just fodder for the critics who are already so hard on him to say, like, this franchise has become extinct without Shia LaBeouf or whatever.
Shia LaBeouf?
Shia LaBeouf. That's how the French say her, the buffet. It's a buffet of sexuality.
TJ brought for the prize bag 3 spray Evian bottles.
Yeah, and those are Evian facial sprays. They're imported from France, and they moisturize and tone and refresh. And they're the most American product that there is because people in other parts of the world are dying because they can't get a cleanly source of water. And in America, we're like, sometimes I like it on the outside. And it's also the only prop I've ever used on stage. So
it's also a great way to, it keeps you from getting the avian flu.
That's right.
That's exciting. Greg Proops is here, you guys.
Yes!
Yeah! Bonjour, Montréal. Comment ça va? Je m'appelle Grégoire.
He put in the prize bag a package of gum that he signed on the back. And he also... I think I thought you chewed some of the gum. But you it's a pristine package of gum.
They give it to us in our hostel. When you come to the Just Per Rear Festival, they give you a hostility package, and in it is a package of gum and some other effluvium and other ungodly shit that takes up a room
like
in your...
a book that says comedy on the front of it, and then it's blank on the inside. It's like, we don't fucking know. You work it out. You come up with some comedy. Anybody can do it. All you need is a piece of paper.
Mine my book didn't say comedy on it.
It was just blank?
Disappointment.
That's another weird thing to give out at a comedy festival. They gave us earplugs so that we can really enjoy the shows. And, some Advil. That's nice. And,
I would have preferred the French Canadian Tylenol with codeine because it's awesome up here. The 222s. Who's with me? That's you can get them at the Pharmapreeks.
I gotta go. I'll be right back.
Yeah. I changed my mind about giving you guys this pen. I'm going to hang on to it. But there's some hand lotion. That always comes in handy when you're at a festival like this, touching a bunch of dirty sons of bitches. And then a copy of my album, Gateway Doug. And then Al Madrigal is here, everybody.
Hey. I have never been on. Have I been on this show? Is this a?
You're on it right now.
I'm on it now.
I think this might be your first time.
I think it might be. I think so. We watched Fast and Furious 5 in L.A.
Fast 5.
Sorry.
Yeah.
And that was fantastic. If you haven't seen that, it made me. I went back and watched every other Fast car movie after that. Totally.
They're terrific for interrupting because they just you know, they're well made, but they're silly.
Well, my favorite part, and I forget what actor this was, there's a guy in the film who looked exactly like Dane Cook. And so it just made it so easy for me to do Dane Cook lines.
You think Vin Diesel looks like Dane Cook?
Exactly. If Vin Diesel had hair, yeah. It'd be.
I would pay so much money just to see Vin Diesel do one Dane Cook routine.
Yeah.
Dane Cook.
Like a jokey-okey type of situation where you could just put celebrities up doing other people's
acts. Vin Diesel's the voice of a character in Guardians of the Galaxy? And he only says three words over and over again the whole movie. Like, did he just record it once and go home? And they're just like, we're going to say Vin Diesel is in this. No one's going to give a shit.
Isn't that the same? He only says three words in those car movies. He's like, let's get fast. Let's get furious. I look similar to Dane Cook. That's all hyphenated.
Yeah, and like Iron Giant, he's like, I'm a robot.
In The Pacifier, he was like, this is mistakes.
So Just for Laughs is very nice to include in our bag that they give us, everybody, some CDs from Comedy Central Records, and they're from Morgan Murphy, Tom Segura, and Dennis Miller, and Al Madrigal signed all three of them for whoever...
You're welcome.
Whoever wins today.
Just Poirier, that's what I said.
That's going to be a real conversation starter on your coffee table. Why are these albums by other comedians signed by Al Madrigal? Yeah. And it's because that's how big he's getting in this business.
That's right.
These guys wouldn't have been able to do this without him. And what else are you up to right now, Al? Are you?
I'm on a show. I'm on the NBC show, or if it, Global. I think it's on Global. Here, is that a fucking network? So it's about a boy, and I still do the Daily Show. So I'm still.
You're on About a Boy.
I am. Is your mom watching?
What character in the movie are you representing in the TV show?
There is a fat friend in the beginning that has maybe three lines where you see Hugh Grant go off and never, like you tell, he's convinced to be single and love and completely selfish after that point because he hates his married friends, and I'm that married friend.
Let's get fast. Let's get a boy.
Yeah, that's right.
I like that the National Broadcasting Company, NBC, their affiliates internationally came up with an even more generic name for their network. It's the Global Network.
Yeah, that's right.
Somebody should just start one. TV Network. Yeah. Tonight on TV.
Programs.
Canada's own Sean Cullen is here, you guys.
Yay.
Hello. Hi, everyone. Thank you for having me. Global. And it's not even global. It's local.
It's just here.
It's just here, so it's not global. It's a lie already.
You brought something really interesting for the prize bag that I'm holding in my hand. It's a little ceramic sad Indian looking at pollution.
This is my father made these before he passed away. He had a resin mold company. and he was very fond of native motifs. So eventually died of resin poisoning, but this work he did, he incorporated some feathers into it.
Yeah, there's feathers in his hair that are very nice to stroke. And he still looks sad when you do it.
Yeah. Yeah.
He's got a very sad face, and he's got a feather kind of fan. Oh, everyone knows that the native people love fans. And it features largely in their culture.
Why don't you tell everyone why that particular statuette is so important to
you? Well, because this is the last one my father made. he was barely able to speak or see, but he still had the strength to pour resin into the mold. And like that.
Storm is coming.
I like the dog. You're so...
It does tell the weather. It's amazing.
You're so politically conscious that you said it has feathers in its hair.
It
being
it might be a lady.
It could be luck.
Resin
be a lady tonight. Luck be a lady.
I got his feathers all wet.
If you ever were a native lady, luck be a lady tonight. Yeah, we go.
Lady doesn't spray my resin. It isn't right. It isn't so. The lady doesn't go around all over the room and wet other guys' feathers. So,
how many points? I'm sorry, Sean. How many points would Aisha Tyler give you for that one, Greg?
How many Indians can you fit up your ass?
All of them.
I don't think I could get one up my ass. This thing is big and it's heavy too. It'd be hard to walk.
It's unwieldy. Yeah,
you should see some of my father's other work. They're much more smooth on the sides. When they're standing up with their arms at their sides, no problem.
No problem.
Yeah.
Their heads are cone shaped.
Also, I'm throwing in a box of Kleenex that was in the green room.
Did you sign it?
Oh, yeah, I'll sign it. That's a good idea.
Each Kleenex.
Now that's a conversation starter. Next to the bed.
You're signing it in a pen. You're a true consummate professional.
I don't have a Sharpay.
Come out and gnaw your name into the box.
Sean Cullen, let's start with you.
Okay, what's wrong?
I'm going to have to ask you to go outside. No. Have you seen any movies lately?
Oh, you know, I've seen...
I had to look at a piece of paper to come up with that question. Let me see what I've got for Sean.
Have you been to the movies?
I saw a very... Like, this was released on iTunes. It says, currently in theaters. In that section of iTunes, it says, currently in theaters. And you know it's not currently in theaters. Or and maybe it's in one. But it was called Snowpiercer.
Yeah!
With Captain America?
Chris Evans.
Chris Evans?
Yeah.
I have a liking for Chris Evans. I like his honest portrayal of Captain America. He's a sweet man with incredible muscles and no other powers. And I like that about him.
That shield comes right back to him when he throws it.
Yeah, but I don't get that. How is that possible?
It's not a boomerang. It's just a circle.
Yeah, a circle does not have that aerodynamic quality of a boomerang. But it
depends on the wind and if there's an updrift. All right, I don't want to get into it.
It's also has his enhanced meteorological powers so he can discuss the wind currents with himself as he throws it. He's so swift.
It'll lodge itself in a wall when he throws it at a wall. But he runs right up to it, just pulls it right out.
Yeah, but he can catch it too.
It's
on
crazy.
The edge, it goes through concrete, but not through his hand.
You know what? That's probably why they named the entire organization after it. Shield.
Oh, yeah. Simple is best. But Snowpiercer.
Did you like that?
I actually did.
Yeah.
I think it's a Thai director. It's a very, Hong Kong action.
It's the dude who did the Host, I think.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it's basically, they're on a train, and the train is the last place humanity exists, and the train goes around the world constantly after a deep freeze has occurred. It's a new ice age, and nothing can survive outside the train. So Chris Evans and several other people live at the back,
of the train, and they eat some kind of cubes of sludge, and they have a revolution in trying to get up to the
The rich people are in the front part of the train.
Yeah.
So he fights his way through a train.
Yeah.
Like, it goes from car to car having fights.
Yeah.
It's great.
It is amazing. Have you seen it?
Yeah.
I think it's quite fun.
There's a great scene.
There's a great scene where Chris Evans and his pals arrive at a place, and the door opens, and there's hundreds of guys with axes. And they're, well, we've got, like, these pipes and stuff. This isn't going to work out well for us. And then all the lights go out, and it's a fight in the dark, and they're just getting chopped to pieces. And then a man runs from the back of the train.
Don't say too much.
With a torch. And then they win the fight.
Because then they can see again.
Then they can see again.
Yeah.
It's pretty amazing.
I don't think there's many people in the audience that are like, I wish he said Snowpiercer spoiler alert, because I'm intending to watch it tonight.
Listen, I haven't told you the best parts of Snowpiercer by any stretch.
It's called Snowpiercer?
Yeah, it makes no sense to me. That's a weird
it's
name.
It's called Snowpiercer because that's what it's called when you make a snow angel lying face down.
Oh.
Yeah, you add a little hole there.
So you have to be very excited about making
that
snow angel.
You totally pierce the snow with your cockleage.
I was going to say, if the angel's face down, it can be a little bit of a snow devil if you get on top, you know? I thought that would do better. It's a snow angel fucking joke. What else do you want?
John Hurt is in the movie. John Hurt. He's a wonderful actor.
Okay, I didn't say tell me everything you know about a movie.
And Ed Harris, of course, is in it.
Right, because he's
the weirdo in every movie. The weird blue-eyed Aryan man with no hair in every movie.
Or a really fancy wig. Oh. He likes to wear a wig on occasion.
He's cute.
Just like Al Madrigal. Have you been to the movies lately? I know you're busy.
I saw the last one I saw. I have a 12-year-old right now, so I'm getting to introduce him to a lot of comedies, which is great. So we just have been on a marathon. We're trying to, since it's summer, they're watching almost one a night. So we just watched Shaolin Soccer, Groundhog Day, and Dumb and Dumber, and he's seeing all these things. He, of course, fights it in the beginning, and then is convinced it's the best movie he's ever seen at the end. And then, as far as the theater, I saw Edge of Tomorrow, which I thought was fantastic. I loved it.
That's interesting that you saw Groundhog Day and Edge of Tomorrow in close proximity.
I really did. It was amazing. It seems like the easiest fucking script to write after just, like, let's take Matrix, and let's take Groundhog Day and fucking Tom Cruise, put them together. I'm actually friendly with Tom Cruise, which is exciting. So I went to go support
what
him.
What does that mean, friendly?
We became buddies.
Oh.
Do you guys go snow piercing ever?
Yeah, me too.
I was going to say, by buddies, you mean he keeps you in his ice castle.
Yeah, exactly. He was on The Daily Show, and I had a piece air. And so the move is that we get to stand in this mini kitchen, and you hope that some celebrity would walk by, and then you get to interact with them because they just saw you on the monitor, and he came by, and this is how we're so close, is that... came by and he said, good job, and he came right up to me and shook my hand, and then I was nervous, and I dropped my pen, and there was this moment where we just locked eyes, and he slowly bent down, picked up my pen, paused for a little bit, right near my crotch area, looked at it, and then rose back up.
He was checking you out?
He was totally checking me out. Feel pretty fucking good about it too. It was awesome. Yeah.
And so that's
so I'm happy to
that's
go
the end of your
my,
friendship right
that's
there.
That's it. That's how it ended.
And a new relationship began.
Yeah.
He's extremely exciting to be around. I've met him twice, and both times I just couldn't get over it. It's right. He just really is a fucking
star.
Movie star, and yep. Also just seems like a sweetheart.
You're cool as shit.
Doesn't bring up Scientology ever.
And also, can I say this real quick? To that effect, didn't have anybody with him. Sacha Baron Cohen came on the show, and he had 20 people fucking with him, entourage. Tom Cruise?
Just shows up.
One dude.
Oh, he had one dude with him?
Yeah, just one person.
How many did Sacha have?
20.
20 people with him?
20 people, a 20-person
entourage. What is there, a security force or something?
Well, it was right when he was putting out the dictator, and so he had those chicks dressed up as you know, as a little militia or whatever
he was doing.
He was
doing a thing.
Yeah, he was doing a thing. But there was still
Well, I'm just wondering if he traveled with 20 people.
There were a shitload of people other than the, you know, hired model chicks he had in fatigues or whatever the fuck he was doing. So
what an asshole.
He was... That's what I'm getting
at. Just saying?
I'm glad you said it, Sean.
Sorry, I don't know him, so I don't care.
Same thing with Florida, the rapper. Sorry, Flo Rida. Yeah. But he comes with a large entourage as well.
Yeah.
It's true.
Greg, have you been to the movies? I mean, besides Transformers 4?
Oh.
No, I was going to see Transformers 4, and then I remembered I'm an adult. But it looks good.
How could you ever get tired of robots fighting?
You know what? I think there's too much fussing between robots in movies, and that's what raises my dander. I feel robots should live in peace and harmony, and they should make a movie called Robot Piercers, where their extensions come out and grasp one another firmly.
Amen.
I don't know if I'd go watch that. You're probably right. Fighting's better. I think I've seen a Michael Bay. What was the one where Scarlett Johansson is in a white thing?
The Island.
Yeah. I took my own...
I treat every movie question like it's a game show. Like, I just jump in as soon as I know the answer.
You truly do love movies.
This is how much I love movies. I saw the... I guess... TJ, this is a question for you. How many minutes into Transformers 4 did I walk out?
I'd say 27 minutes.
No, your character leaves the movie. I won't say why. 45 minutes in, that's when I left.
Really?
Mm-hmm. Wow. I just wanted to see you, and then when you were gone, I even had to stay a couple extra minutes, because even after you're gone, you're still around for a second.
That's true.
It's grim.
No, I think it's optimistic, because I don't have to work with Michael Bay again. I found a lot of positivity within that.
So it was rough? It was not a good time?
Well, no.
Was it rough nut or tough nut?
It was rough nut. And it was tough nut. It was very...
why is the girl and the boy, why are they named rough nut and tough nut? Like, why rough or tough don't seem right for the girl?
Yeah, I don't know. I think they came up with tough nut, and then they're like, well, it's a twin. What it rhymes with that?
I'm sorry to hit you with all these hard questions.
No, it's okay. And gruff nut wasn't a good idea.
I'm really Katie Couric-ing you right now. What magazines do you read?
That's okay, a trick question.
So Michael Bay just yells at everybody? Is that the thing?
Well, you know, he has a specific way of communicating with people. Like once he said to me, you know, nothing that you've said is funny, TJ. Not one thing all day. We hired you to be funny. You're like, look, there's 300 people here. None of them are laughing at you. Say something funny. I can still cut you out of the movie. And I said, Michael, I would love that because then I would be able to leave right this instant. And he said, say something funny. You haven't even made the Make-A-Wish kids laugh. And that was true. And I said, that's true. That's true. And I, to be fair to him, I hadn't, you know? So they were just sort of standing there like, this is not our wish. Can we trade our wish in? We didn't want to see the emptiness of Hollywood screaming through a man dressing all in white. But then the weird thing was,
you should have said to him, go try to make a speech.
Well,
he's not good at that.
Yeah, I mean, he is stage fright. But, you know, but then the second the cameras would stop rolling, he'd be like, hey, you want to go get sushi and have some drinks? It's a very bizarre bipolar experience. But the movie that I saw, I went and saw Transformers 4, and I brought an audience from the comedy club in Omaha at the Funny Bone, because I thought, look how cool that's going to be. I bring everybody there. We watch the movie together. I'll do some funny Q&A at the end of it. I thought it was a brilliant idea. Then as we started to watch the movie, I remembered that it's 3.5 hours long. So by the end of it, which people kind of felt beholden to stay to the end, it was really awful. I mean, people bolted out of the theater. I fell asleep at one point. It was really a bad idea.
I imagine if one sat through the whole thing at the end, if asked, how'd you like T.J. Miller, they'd go, he was in that?
Yeah.
Because a lot of shit probably happens.
Well, but you should have stayed to the end because there's a really sort of, I don't know, it's both cathartic and they really tie up the end of it because it ends up that the humans aren't extinct and neither are the Transformers, but Mark Wahlberg kind of triumphs, and so do the Autobots. It's,
oh,
it's similar to... No, it's exactly the same as the last three films. So I thought it was really good.
I actually have a Michael Bay story as well.
Really?
I dropped my pen.
Uh-huh.
And he just took so much time in the dick and balls area.
Did he yell at your dick and balls?
And then he yelled at my dick and balls.
Your dick and balls haven't said anything funny this whole day.
You call that a dick and balls?
Al, can I borrow your pen?
Yeah, exactly. It's a great pen. I got it.
TJ, was there a particular ad lib that did get in the movie that you're proud of?
Yeah.
Because you had some funny lines.
There's a couple, but one of them I'm really proud of, and the other one I'm disgusted by.
Oh, great.
Ad lib.
Give us both.
The ad lib that I'll say the thing that I hated was that he and I, he's actually quite funny, and so we were discussed, was this the funniest thing? And it was during this particular scene where he said, I came over and I said, Michael, this doesn't totally make sense. I think this line is a remnant from an earlier draft in the script. And he was like, yeah, I don't like this scene. So what do you think it should be? And I was like, what? You want me to make up a scene in a movie that's going to be seen by 300 million people worldwide? And he's like, yeah. And so we worked through it, and then eventually he came up with this idea that I come up with the eviction notice, and I say, Tess, mi casa is su casa, and we're about to lose the casa. And he said, that's hilarious. That's the one you should say. And I was like, I do not agree. I think this is an awful idea. I really, because I talked to him straight up, and I was like, this will be a thing that embarrasses me permanently in front of millions, hundreds of millions of people. And he was like, just trust me. It'll be hilarious. And I trusted him, and he was wrong. But then he did do something great, which is he let me riff this thing, and he kept it in, which is where I say, if you report that there's a transformer, then you win like $100,000. And Mark Wahlberg's like, I don't think you win it. I think it's a reward. And I was like, no, it's not. You think Greg would lie to me? And that's amazing, because there's no mention of Greg. We never see him. It's such a thing that I would say. I always, with my girlfriend, make fun of, like, guys named Greg and talking about Greg. And it's just a fictional thing. And I, every time I see it in the film, because I've seen it upwards of 30 times, but I it's so funny to me that he let me say that in a major motion picture. Okay.
Thank you, Doug.
There's a really big hair hanging off of your face.
Yeah, it's from my head. So, but that is amazing to me that in a movie I say, you think Greg would lie to me? And it's just an absurdist line. So it's
I might have laughed at that one. I laughed a few times. Also, but also it's so random when he hits you really hard with the football in the face.
It's so, well, that was the one where he said nothing that you're doing is funny. That's where he yelled at me because I couldn't get it right.
You got to come up with a funny response to getting hit in the face with a football?
Which I think it's pretty funny just to go, blah, you know? But which will play well on the podcast to the listeners. But no, I mean, there is some funny stuff in there. What's random to me about it is that I'm in the movie. Like, it doesn't make sense. It feels, every time I watch it, it feels to me like some buddy of mine was like, hey, I got this editor to CGI you into Transformers, and you look like a fucking idiot. Because it is weird that Mark Wahlberg will be like, we gotta go, drive! And then the guy, Jack Rayner's like, hey, it's nice to meet you, I'm pursuing your daughter. And she's like, this is Shane, he drives, Dad. And then it cuts to me and I'm like, there are scary cars. It just seems fake the entire time. Which the surrealism of that actually I embrace more than actually being in the film. But I do appreciate that he had
the first 45 minutes of this one, I'm not saying this just to say it. The first 45 minutes of this one is the best 45 minutes of any of the Transformer movies. Because
that is a bold statement.
Because
Doug.
Mark Wahlberg is good.
He's great.
He's better than LaBeouf. And you are there with him for 45 minutes. As the sidekick or whatever, and his daughter's hot, although it's weird how he's yelling at his daughter to put on shorts that are bigger, but Michael Bay is lingering on her ass while it's happening.
Well, he got down and he did that shot.
It's like looking up into her shorts.
He did that shot and everybody, and this is the last thing I'll say about Transformers because there's 1,000 stories, but he got down and people were making fun of him. They're like, this is the Michael Bay angle. And then Wahlberg tells her like, your shorts are too short. And then I say, I think she looks hot for a teen. And then that was Bay's line.
And I was like, Bay, I don't think we should say that at all. That's a crazy thing to say. And he's like, no, trust me, it'll be hilarious. But then in the like ADR
like
session,
all of my films, nonstop laughs.
Yeah, Pain and Gain was more pain than gain. But I finally argued with him when we were doing ADR, like doing the voiceover stuff in the editing room. And he's actually really cool. We looked at the whole thing and tried to come up with jokes. But I luckily was able to add for a teen, like a teenager. You know, and there's something that I made it just a little bit better, but it still makes
just
my character sound like a fucking pervert because he's the surrogate uncle of this girl. It's just fucking weird. It's
he's the soon to be deceased uncle of this girl, and he's talking about how hot she is.
Earlier, you said you weren't going to say how I departed from the movie.
Oh, I just assumed the character would die someday. Was that character an immortal?
I did a backstory, and eventually lupus takes him. It's terrifying.
All right, fellas. Well, that was a lovely chat about the cinema, and now we have to move on to the game portion of the show. Let the games begin. Lots of folks brought lots of name tags. Oh, I saw that one on Twitter today, right? Yeah. And so you guys can just... physically get up and go pick a name tag of who you'd like to play for. There's lots of good ones. A lot of them have my face on it, which I like, but I don't get to pick the name tags, so I don't know why someone would pick one that has my face on it. But it happens sometimes. And we don't have a commercial in this episode, so I'm just going to keep babbling during this part. Doug Loves Movies.
You should buy a free subscription to my podcast. I just thought I'd throw an ad in.
The smartest man in the world, and he is.
Yeah, buy a free subscription to that. But I'm doing Doug Loves Movies again next Wednesday at the Traverse City Film Festival, and Michael Moore is going to be a guest on that one because it's his film festival.
And I am not doing my podcast, Cashing In with TJ Miller, at that festival.
You're not?
Nope. But that was a good way for me to get in my ad.
Did you have fun at that Traverse City Comedy Festival when you did it that one time?
Yeah, I thought it was super fun.
Yeah, we had a good time. What's that thing from Monsters, Inc. or whatever?
With a beard.
Oh,
it's Victor.
People are sad for him because he landed. Oh, it's Victor from
It's Victor, but he had a beard or something on him.
Yes, it's his
it's still
beard.
On it.
It's exactly like
okay,
him.
Jesus, somebody in the front row was like, it's still on him. Can't you see? This is ridiculous. There.
It's the it's the one-eyed guy from Monsters, Inc.
That's right.
Scully. Mike Scully.
Mike Scully.
Yeah. Look at him just sitting there
Mike
on my knee.
Mike Sullivan. No. It's
why'd you throw him up here? Oh, so he's got the same beard you have.
That's it.
And are you hoping to just have one eye someday? Did you want him back?
Sure.
Yeah. Sure. There's so many things I can do with it.
It's a gift for you.
Can't he sit by the Indian for a while so they can be friends during the show? There we
during
go.
The, show.
The native man.
Your beard is so long, and your feathers are so wet.
One-eyed creature speaks the truth.
Walking in the rain with the one-eyed guy.
Well, one-eyed guy. Who are you playing for there, TJ?
She didn't write her name on it, did you?
Leah, yeah.
Oh, never mind. I don't want this one. Just kidding. So I'm playing for Leah, who made a Leah, yeah, with a picture of me that implies that I've had a rough week.
Most pictures of you imply that, don't they?
No, most pictures of me imply that I've had a rough month.
Oh, I see. Let me make a vine of this. Hold it up there. Oh, that's nice. Oh, that's real nice. Hold it. Hold it. Okay. Who are you playing for, Greg?
I'm playing for Yo, Edwin.
Oh, that's nice. Little rocky thingy.
Yeah.
Al, who are you playing for?
Lisa, right here in the front row. It looks like she put a tremendous amount of effort into this. So
the big Paluski. Is that your name, Paluski?
Paluski.
Okay.
Nice.
Good. It's like Big Lebowski, but
like
still
Big
Polish
Lebowski.
Sounding. And oh, look at that. Let me get all of you.
I mean, the sign and the thing.
Let's do some.
Because the vine runs out at the end. Check out how much little time you have at the end. I gave TJ too much. Greg, just the right amount. Too much out. Oh, you got in there.
I got in.
Yeah. You made it.
Trevor, say Trevor again.
Now, do you think that's a James Bond film?
I do think it is.
I do, too. Because it's got Sean Connery, and he plays James Bond in it.
Klaus Maria Brandauer is unbelievable as a crazy weirdo in that.
Oh, you liked him in that?
Yeah. Is it Klaus Maria Brandauer?
Yeah, it is. Yeah. He's fantastic in it. Yeah. And tremendous. Kim Basinger is the...
She's the Bond girl in that one, yeah.
And he said something to her like, you have a pretty head, and if you displease me, I cut it off. Or, you know, one of those, like, you're a villain.
It's very, very, he's very sexy while being threatening.
He was threatening to make her haircut shorter?
Yeah. No. Yo Adrian says, the Leonard Maltin game ain't over till it's over.
Which is a true statement.
Is it?
Yeah, yeah. It's over when it's over. Yeah.
True of most things that occur.
Yeah. About 3 o'clock is when it's going to be over. That's what we're shooting for. They got Andy Kindler's going to come in and do the State of the Union address.
State of the Union.
Yes.
He's
gonna,
if only.
He's just going to read Barack Obama's last State of the Union and throw in an occasional shrug. And,
and then Barack Obama's coming in at 4 to deliver the State of the Industry address. Call me. It's not funny.
Andy's very funny State of the Industry address is going to be in this room at 3:30, so we have to clear out at 3 o'clock.
Okay.
I'm mostly saying this out loud so that TJ Miller understands that the show does have a time when it has to end.
It's time for me to reveal that I'm actually Pete Holmes.
I think he's doing his podcast at 3. So if you run over to that tiny room that he's doing his in...
Oh, no, you did not just go there.
Snap.
I was just told it was small. I don't know how small it is. I just know I saw him this morning, and he is very confident to walk around with what looks like bed hair. He's I might as well say it. He's going to be on the Interruption tomorrow night. Yeah, is so it? Come to
awesome.
That if you can.
You know, I'm actually a little, I know we have limited time, but we did spend a tremendous amount of time talking about the Transformers movie, and obviously TJ is not the only actor on stage who has appeared in a major motion picture.
It's true, Sean Cullen was in a movie or two.
I was in The Love Guru. Yeah, it's true.
I was actually talking about a movie that people probably know me from with Christian Slater and Cuba Gooding Jr. called Lies and Illusions.
Anyone?
No.
Anyone raise your hand if you've seen Lies
probably...
and Illusions. Not,
really?
Not one or the other, but both.
She's just being nice.
Are there robots in it?
No, and speaking of improvising lines, I was actually sent that script in final draft prior to the movie, and they said, go for it. That was the day before filming, so.
So did you get high and do a little punch up?
Yeah, I really did. improvised almost every line, and no one cared. That was end of budget. We shot it in Spokane.
Neat. What's it
days.
Called?
Lies and Illusions. Christian Slater came out to me, and I think he was embarrassed. I played his best friend, and he goes, Al, this is what we call a cash grab. And
Jesus. It's also what we call Christian Slater's career.
Yeah.
I mean, everything he's doing is like, okay, yeah, I'll do that, because I want to keep working, you know? Like, he had that TV series where he was really smart about tricking people.
Well, he played both parts, right?
Huh?
He was the bad guy and the good guy?
That was another one.
Yeah.
I think, yeah.
That was Do No Harm with Sam Levine, I think.
Are you thinking of the Patty Duke show? Where they were identical cousins and they fooled their parents all the time?
Yeah, one of them was an evil cousin, though, right? Who murdered people.
Yeah.
No, that was the Brady Bunch.
Oh, yeah.
No, he was right, because in the theme song for Patty Duke show, they say a hot dog makes her lose control.
Yeah.
And so when she sees one, she murders people. That's true.
That had weird sexual innuendo, too.
It's just weird. A hot dog makes her lose control. I think lots of comics have had reference to that in their act over the years.
They're talking about when she's driving. She shouldn't eat a hot dog.
Oh, you shouldn't eat a hot dog
driving.
While driving. Yeah. That's yeah, there's a message in the theme song of the Patty Duke show.
Sure.
Raise your hand if you've ever seen the Patty Duke show.
No,
oh, we got a few.
Wow, one person. I knew I'd make a reference here that could lose 99.9% of the crowd like hand sanitizer.
All right, let's play some games. That's the point of this thing at this point.
Yay, yay, yay.
We'll start with a quick one just to, you know, warm us up a little bit. We're going to determine who gets to go first in the next game by playing this game called How Much Did This Shit Make? And in honor of Comic-Con is going on this weekend down in San Diego, and I was going to do this at Comic-Con the other night, but I ran out of time, and so I'm going to do it right now. TJ, just go ahead and throw your name tag on the floor.
Sorry.
We remember that it says, yeah, Leanne. Leah. See, that's why I need name tags. That's why the whole thing started. Okay, the movie that we're going to do is, you know, most comic book movies are killing it right now at the box office, but one was considered to be a major critical failure and box office failure, and they're not going to make another one, and it was called The Green Lantern. Green Lantern. And we need you guys to guess how much it made in millions without going over, according to Box Office Mojo. The North American box office for this movie. And by the way, Green Hornet, just to give you an idea, the Seth Rogen Green Hornet, that made 98 million. Almost got to 100. I don't know why I thought I had to throw that in there.
Yeah. Are we, I'm sorry, and again, first time playing, but are we doing domestic, foreign, combined? What is, I apologize.
North American.
Okay.
TBA. Yeah.
Just North American.
Yeah, we're including our Canadian friends.
All right, got it.
As I do every week. But how much do you think it made, TJ?
68 million.
Okay. Greg?
14.5. And not a penny more.
That's 72 million.
We're not a loony more, sorry.
72, says Al?
Yes.
Okay. So that's, TJ's got a small window now. And he's really fucking you over, TJ.
And Sean?
I'm going to say 32 million.
Okay.
Big window.
Well, I really did have a reason for throwing in that Green Hornet made 98 million. It was to kind of say that was seemed to be like kind of a failure, and it made 98 million. And Green Lantern was considered a failure at 116.6 million.
Whoa.
Yeah, so Al is our winner of that game.
Yay!
Now we're really going to get into it. My friend that threw up the Mike Scully doll with the beard.
It's not Scully.
No.
What's his name?
Mike
Scully's
Spadowski.
The other guy.
Mike Spadowski.
It's Mike and Scully. Yeah, yeah.
Mike Wazowski.
Mike Wazowski.
Thank God we don't have to bother the corrections
Stanley
department
Spadowski.
About that one. A lot of children listen to this podcast and be very, very upset that I mixed up the names of those stupid monsters.
Yeah.
Aw, they're not stupid. They're smart for monsters. I watched Monsters, Inc. on a plane.
The university or just the first one? Did he go?
Oh, university. That's what I meant.
Yeah.
Inc. was first, then university.
Inc. was
What's
first.
Next?
Monsters Community College.
And then Monsters Grade School.
Wait, what's happening?
And
they're going all over. Monsters University was a prequel.
A
so
prequel.
I guess they could keep going more prequely. Monster Babies.
Monster Rehab.
Yeah, that's right.
Monster Reunion Rehab.
That's why there was so much time between Monsters, Inc. and Monsters University is because they were all in Monsters Rehab.
Yeah. Monsters Promises out at the beach.
Monsters Age of Extinction.
Monsters Age of Distinction.
This game is called Last Man Stanton. We're going to take turns naming movies by whoever our friend that brought this doll picks. You need an actor, actress, or director who has a large body of work, has made a lot of movies.
Is John Goodman too tough?
John Goodman is a tough one, but and I think we've played it before, but I'm willing to do it again if no one opposes the idea.
No.
Al, name any John Goodman movie.
Inside Llewyn Davis.
What was it?
Llewyn Davis.
Inside Llewyn Davis.
Yeah, the latest Coen Brothers. He was in there.
Impopular what?
What?
I mean, that, do you remember Inside Llewyn Davis?
All right.
Do you know what Inside Llewyn Davis is?
Yes.
Yeah.
Greg?
I honestly didn't hear what he said.
Inside Llewyn Davis.
Oh, yeah. No, he went like, and then Llewyn Davis.
No, sorry.
He didn't do that because I heard what he said and I wrote it down.
Doug, to be fair, that's the worst name for a movie of all time.
Yeah.
Inside Llewyn Davis.
Yeah, it really sounds like it's a sequel to Being John Malkovich.
Wow.
Like, but this time we go into the brain of somebody nobody's heard of or cares about.
And has a fake first name. Llewyn?
Yeah.
Who is Welsh. Like, hi, I'm Llewyn.
Through the whole movie, he has to kind of be embarrassed about explaining his first name. People are like, what? Llewyn? Yeah, Llewyn. Here's your cat. I'm paraphrasing. Sean, what do you got? John Goodman.
Oh, brother, where art thou?
Wait, what?
Oh, brother, where art thou?
I see what we're doing here. Let's just knock off all the Coens that he was in. I'll do Big Lebowski.
Barton Fink.
Yeah. Your turn, Greg.
The Babe.
Yeah. Shit.
One of the worst sports movies of all time. When John Goodman plays an 18-year-old teenager leaving the industrial school, and he's 325 pounds, about to go play his first game in the major leagues, you're like, wow.
Yeah.
Things were different in those days.
The Babe, that's the movie where they tell him, that'll do, pig.
That'll do, you pig.
Shit. Al?
I'm hitting the wall already.
Oh, it's ridiculous. It's a hard game. It's not easy.
It is, because you think about his TV career. Well, then it really isn't.
I just thought another one.
Did you?
Yeah. Oh, and another one.
Shit.
And another one. Well, they just keep coming to me. He's been in a lot of movies.
He really has, hasn't
he? Yeah.
Fuck me. I'm so sorry.
Don't apologize.
Yeah.
You're out.
All right.
Good. Sean?
King Ralph.
Yeah.
That's what I'm talking about. How? Explode.
All right. I'm going to go with Flight.
Wow.
Nice.
All right. I'm going to try this one, but it might get me out. Born Yesterday.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. With Melanie Griffith.
Yep. You better fucking believe it.
Speed Racer.
Whoa.
Oh, yeah. Someone was recently...
Pops.
I've had two different people recently tell me Speed Racer is a great movie.
And both of them were in Speed Racer.
I really like the movie.
Really?
I might have to give it another chance. Is it like 20 minutes too long? Can you admit that?
You know what? Again, I'm watching with a fucking 9-year-old at the time, so we were into it. And I was super baked. All right.
It's kind of a stupid premise, what? Just Speed Racer. Of course.
Yeah, there's
why are racing slow? No, it's speed racing is the only kind of racing as far as I'm aware.
It should be named something more descriptive, more innovative, like Fast and Furious.
Yeah.
Racer.
Exactly.
Fast
some emotion.
And Furious Racer is what they should have called it. It would have been a big hit.
People get angry when they go at high speed. That's what happens. People get furious.
Are you stalling trying to think
of
another
joke? No, I have one.
What is it?
Monuments Men.
Oh, yeah.
You had three of them, didn't you?
I'm going to go with Matinee.
Yeah. That's the spirit.
Greg? I mean, TJ, sorry.
Now you're going to end up going to Greg.
Because you got nothing?
Yeah, I feel like he had a cameo in...
Oh, he definitely did.
Yeah. Yeah, that's it. That's my answer.
He's definitely had a cameo.
He had a cameo.
Yeah.
Was he in The Grand Hotel? The 1930s?
All right. Moving on. He wasn't. Greg?
Big Lebowski.
I said that already.
Oh, true story.
Right after Al Madrigal said...
He said, Inside Mogan David.
Everyone heard.
Mokey David.
That's what I thought he said. Inside Mogan David. I was like, why would there be a...
I said, inside Llewyn Davis, right to the man. I said,
It is kind of hard to hear each other sitting next to each other.
Yeah, maybe that's
Are you guys talking?
The sound is going out there more.
To be fair, this room holds 300,000 people, and this is the largest event since the Nuremberg rally, so the echo in here is fairly substantial in my defense. I didn't hear you say Big Lebowski. My movie of John Goodman is one from the 80s called True Stories by David Byrne.
Mm-hmm. Good one.
All right. Arachnophobia.
Whoa, good one.
Fuck. I will go with...
That's a great
Blues Brothers 2000.
Oh, man. From the three-point line, God.
Greg?
You're out?
Yeah, TJ's out.
Flintstones.
Yeah.
Now, that might be the greatest movie of all time, next to Speed Racer.
And Yogi Bear 3.
When you take a cartoon and you make it even funnier with making it live, that is a good idea.
Rick Moranis played Barney in that.
He was funny.
He was good.
And what's her name? The fabulous actress who played...
What's happening? Sean Wilma. Cullen.
Yeah, I think I'm stumped.
What are you going to do?
Was he in Shit Princess?
Whistling.
I made
Shit
that one
Princess?
Up.
Yeah.
No, I made that one up.
What was that? No,
no. Shit Princess.
That was the prequel to Snowpiercer.
Yeah. Where you go shit out in the snow and lay a shit princess.
She got nothing, Sean? Sean's got nothing.
Okay, I'm out.
He's out. This is kind of funny, what I'm about to say. Monsters, Inc.
You pulled that one out. I'll see your Monsters, Inc., and I'll raise you with arachno motherfucking phobia.
I just said that.
Just say Monsters,
Inc. No, he didn't.
This is how Greg Proops learned that his hearing is gone.
To be fair, he said it with such conviction, you should give him the point.
He did sing it. That's probably how he bought his ticket when he saw that movie when it came out. One for arachnophobia!
Oh, I am deaf as a post, man. It's not that my hearing's gone, it's just that my short-term memory is completely ratched.
Do you have another one?
I said it a second ago, I'm like, that would be a good one, and then, hey, I just thought of something.
Do you have another one? You gonna let me walk away with this?
Oh, no. How about Bewitched?
Was he in that?
No. I just wanted to say it because it was conviction. So shitty.
He was in Always and Revenge of the Nerds. And what else you guys got?
Monsters University.
Monsters University, obviously. The Campaign. Coyote Ugly. He was the daddy of
Fargo's
that
a good
sweet
one.
Little girl. Which one? Argo.
Oh, oh yeah,
Argo, fuck all of us.
Coyote Ugly was a good one. I'm sorry I didn't remember that.
So, I think we forgot Argo the last time we played John Goodman.
Really?
I think so.
I saw Coyote Ugly in a movie theater with my wife years when it came out. Not the first night, but...
Who'd you see it with?
My wife.
My wife!
My wife! And the whole theater was 11-year-olds, and they were watching the movie spellbound. Like, Coyote Ugly was like Citizen Kane to them. They were so... serious about it, and there was a line in it like, oh, I'm lip syncing to Blondie, and my wife and I laughed, and the kid behind us turned and went, that's not funny, like that, and I was like, Jesus Christ, it was like watching a French art film with a bunch of 11-year-olds. They were, don't you fucking laugh at her aspiration to be a coyote girl.
I love it, you said they were watching it like spellbound, and I thought you meant like spellbound the movie. Which may
just
not be
totally changed stories. I was watching Coyote Ugly, and these children are watching Spellbound. Let's play the Leonard Maltin game.
You love it.
Greg gets to go first because he did last the longest in Last Man Stanton, and then we'll go to. Which way were we going last time? That way.
Went that way.
So we'll come back the other way. We'll go to TJ.
Sweet.
TJ gets to pick the first category. Please don't try to look at my phone.
I'm just stretching my back, Doug. I don't want to see that iPhone 4.
You're making me feel bad about my phone.
Is it really an iPhone 4?
I already felt bad enough about your pants.
Hey, I'm in a safari jungle from the waist down.
Wow, your pants are tripping.
The last place they're going to look for weed on you is in those pants that look like you're covered in weed.
Saigon. Shit, I'm still in Saigon.
Everybody listening, I have weird pants on.
I wouldn't say weird.
The listeners would not have gathered that from what we were saying.
My joke was that I was even less descriptive than you guys, so the people at home would be like, oh, he's finally going to clarify exactly what the print on his pants is, but then he said he didn't, and that was the joke.
Would you like, and they're always glad you came, which is movies with actors from the TV show Cheers?
I've had a totally different concept of what that was going to be.
Right? Or Horace Inkling suggested on Twitter, Batman versus Bateman, and that's movies that have Jason Bateman and Ben Affleck. Yeah, you'd be surprised how many there are. Those two, something's up with those two. And then your third option is the El Deuterino category, which is movies that are seven words, or the title is seven words or more, you know, if you're not into the whole brevity thing. Yeah. Which one of those would you like to play, TJ?
I think seven words or more, okay. Although...
TG, come on, what the fuck?
What? What do you want it to be? I'll do whatever you want, I'm still going to lose.
Let's do the
What
the
do you want,
Cheers?
Bateman versus
No,
Batman?
Cheers is easy.
I can't hear a goddamn word you're saying.
See?
No!
It's not just
He was making fun of you when he did that.
No, you know what? Honestly, it's like being told a secret by a butterfly. That's what it's so...
Everyone can
there's
hear.
There's no diction. There's no emphasis on anything. It's like being sharing a confidence with a beetle. You know what I mean? Like, what are you saying? It's I'm Moke and David. What? And then whatever. I can't.
Yeah. I'm gonna do. I'll actually then do Bateman versus Batman.
Okay.
I think there's one that I know, but just one.
Okay.
And I can't remember the name of it. So.
It's perfect. Let me help you out. It was,
These pants are weird.
The one you're trying to think of is Extract.
No.
Oh, really?
But you burned that one.
This one is from 2007. 1.5 stars. Wait a second. Why did I let you pick?
I don't know.
Greg is supposed to go first.
I don't know why you don't, when you start the game, ask me to leave the stage. Because I have never won. I don't understand why you play it. Your fans are rabid for people that are good at it. I already did my part of talking too much throughout the podcast about a terrible movie that I was barely in.
Yeah, but you helped make them terrible.
What do you mean, barely? If that movie was a regular length, you would have been in half of it. okay, sorry, Greg, about that. You were supposed to go first.
I'll choose the one with seven words or more.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, that was my turn.
Eat it, Al. Eat it.
I'll just walk away.
Eat it like you eat your words when you're talking.
Greg, this movie...
just dropped you a shit princess right there, Al.
This movie with seven titles or more in the words... Got 2.5 stars from Mr. Malton, and the year is 1967. Yeah. Leonard says about this movie that it has an impressive cast that tries to sustain the comedy. That doesn't sound like they succeeded when he says they tried to sustain the comedy. And then he also says it's based on a play. And he lists seven names. How many names can you get it in, Greg Proops?
Seven. I'm sticking with this fortuitous number.
All right. And so then now we go to TJ.
Name that movie.
All right.
Sorry, did I say that clearly enough? Yeah. My.
Mogan David.
All right, well, if there's anybody on this panel that could name this, I would say Greg might be the one. We'll see if he comes up with it. The seven names are Cyril Delavante, the great Cyril Delavante, Lionel Jeffries, Jonathan Winters, Hugh Griffith, Barbara Harris, Robert Morse, and Rosalind Russell. Seven Words or More, Greg, from 1967. Comedy, impressive cast, as you just heard. They try to sustain the comedy.
Rod Steiger's not in it.
And it's based on a play.
It's based on a play.
Oh, if you say this title, the room is going to go nuts.
Is it, Oh Dad, Poor Dad, Mom's Hung You in the Closet and I Feel So Bad?
That's it!
Oh! That's amazing! Boom!
Is it really? Oh my
Holy
God,
shit.
Yeah! Proops is churning
that
the
is
butter.
Amazing.
Yes!
Adrian, looking
the smartest
good.
Smartest man in the world.
But it's Feeling So Bad, so I can't give you the point because the actual title is Feeling So Sad.
Sad.
And you said
there you
bad.
Are. You're right, I did.
Yeah, so TJ gets the point.
No!
I don't even
Boo.
Want the point. I don't want the point. Give it to Greg. It's not fair.
No, I'm going to make you take it.
I got it wrong. It's not. It's
it was
not
impressive that you got that close. Everybody
Holy
loved it.
Shit.
And then turns out you were wrong.
Out of triumph, tragedy.
This is like riding the Snowpiercer.
It really is. Did I shit Princess the bed that time?
There is a pee at the very bottom of all the bed stuff.
All right, Sean, we're going to start with you and head over to Al. And yeah. You get to pick the first category. Celebrating a birthday today, Joey from Friends, Matt LeBlanc. And he's been in some movies.
You're kidding.
So the films of Matt LeBlanc.
Wow.
Or the YOLO virus, which is a movie where an actor who played James Bond dies. So it's, you know, all the James Bonds over the years. One of them dies in a movie. And Penny Dreadful, which of course is Penny Marshall movies that Leonard gave 2 stars or less. Which one of those would you like to play, Sean?
I think YOLO virus.
YOLO. I know you love the James Bond films. This particular James Bond Dies In It movie is from 1987. 4 stars from Leonard for this movie. He calls it high energy entertainment. He also says that the end of the movie, or there's a section of this movie that will have you on the edge of your seat. Exclamation point. Like, Leonard doesn't bust out exclamation points hardly ever. And then he lists 9 names. Apologies, 10 names. How many names can you get it in, Sean?
I'm going to go 8.
8's a smart opening bid.
Yeah.
Al?
I'll try it in 7.
Okay. Greg?
I'll go 6.
Oh, here's TJ again. How did that happen? Did I go the same order again?
I can do it in the form of saying, name that movie.
This is going to make me so happy if TJ wins today.
Ironically, it will make me very sad.
After your speech about how hard it is for you to win. But I think Greg's going to pull this one out. You get 6 names, Greg?
Sure.
Okay. And, yeah, I'm excited for you on this one. I really think you're going to do it. Your 6 names are Patricia Clarkson, Billy Drago, Brad Sullivan, Jack Kehoe, Richard Bradford, and Robert De Niro. Yeah, from 87, and someone who played Bond dies in this movie.
Someone?
Who played James Bond. Dies in this movie from 87, where De Niro, probably one of the, I don't think he's lowly billed very often.
Yeah, right.
He's usually top 2, probably.
87.
It's not the Robert De Niro.
It's can't D. be a different Niro. Can't be a different Robert De Niro. SAG doesn't allow that.
Okay, well maybe a D.I. Niro.
Oh yeah. It's true. I should get into the spellings of all the names.
Yeah.
Well, you ought to, because when Greg didn't do 1 letter, you didn't give him the point. Never mind.
It really was
well,
a difference of 1 letter.
My guess is it isn't Roger Moore or Timothy Dalton that dies in this, and Daniel Craig wouldn't have been in it. And so I'm guessing that Sean Connery dies in this movie, And if I could have longer to think about it and a Google map in front of me, I would get the answer to this.
Google map.
Robert De Niro, 87.
Shit balls.
Yeah. High energy entertainment.
What's the one where he's in the bloody jungle? And then... All right.
I really thought you'd pull this one. I was so excited.
I know. TJ knows TJ. This one,
too. You're winning.
Oh, I know this one.
I don't know. Shit. I got nothing. How about, I can't think of a movie where Sean Connery dies. The Rock?
But what do you do, like, if somebody pulls a knife, what that? Do you do?
Oh, fuck the Untouchables.
Yeah, it's the Untouchables.
You knew.
TJ's
right.
Our winner, you guys. Yeah. TJ Miller pulls it out.
This is terrifying.
He does die in that one.
I'm so uncomfortable. I was going to say To Live and Let Die, but no.
Yeah, that would have been wrong if the answer was Live and Let Die.
James Bond dies in Live and Let Die?
How do I close it out? This has never happened.
You don't have to do anything. Just sit there.
You're right. I should have got that one, man.
But Leah gets the prize bag. Come collect your prizes, Leah.
Leah, we did it. You literally had the worst guest on Doug Loves Movies, and also the one who loses the most.
Say goodbye, fellas.
Running Bear and Little Green Blackbeard.
Wow, he looked up just in time to catch it. I don't want to put it in the bag because it'll fall right through it. It's heavy.
It's a beautiful, beautiful sculpture. My father's hands were all over that.
Yeah.
Enjoy the facial sprays.
Thank you for... Yeah, she want to spray off right now to that exciting competition. Now, Sean Cullen has kind of a gift because, no matter what movie title you throw at him, he knows the theme song to every motion picture.
It's crazy.
So I would like, just to rub in that Greg didn't know the answer. How did the theme song for The Untouchables go?
Look out behind you, eating your dinner, feeling satisfied and safe and secure. Oh no, a bat is hitting your place where you should put a hat. I think you're gonna die face down in your food as the blood spreads out across the lid and tablecloth. Untouchables, untouchables. You thought you were untouchable, but you got touched with the great big bat. Enjoy eternal sleep.
Wow.
I love those days. Like back in the 80s, the theme songs to movies told you about key scenes right there in the theme song. It was kind of fun to know what was going to happen.
Whet your appetite.
Kind of like the Mission Impossible movies show you really fast everything that's going to happen in the opening. Al Madrigal, would you like to sing?
Actually, I don't think I should get to sing. Right now, so.
Greg, what did he say?
Al said he'd adore to sing, and he's got an improvised song that he's going to do that rhymes every other line and is hilarious. Go on, Al.
I think he also said he was going to do an iambic pentameter, right?
Yeah, yeah,
exactly.
Are you guys talking? I can't hear anything.
I accidentally kept one of your spray things. I got to give her all the prizes. There you go. I don't know where the lid went, though.
She was like, yeah,
here
he's
it
got
is.
It.
This guy's got
he's
it.
He's got it.
Thanks, dude.
This is the kind of
it's so
crowd.
Great. I just got into town. I already scored a lid. Drug joke.
That was like Cheech and Chong in his ceramic.
Does anybody ever say lid anymore?
No, that's what I mean. That was up in smoke.
That's some old school shit right there.
That reference 20 joints. Up in
smoke. It was a neat reference.
How did the theme song, Sean, from Oh Dad, Poor Dad, Mama's Hung You in the Closet, I'm Feeling So Sad, how did that go?
Why can't I get this door closed? Something seems to block the frame. I open the door and oh my Lord, Daddy's dead, what a shame.
Oh my God.
Any movie, he knows the theme song.
It's amazing.
From every movie. Yeah. Al, do you have any plugs before we go today?
My show's at 7:30 tonight and tomorrow. I'd love people to come by. Yes,
okay. Love it.
Yeah. Check out. He's going to be at the Mumbles Amphitheater.
Yeah.
And the sound there is really crisp. And you're doing a stand-up where? Where's your show at?
The Underworld.
Underworld.
Right
okay.
Past a hyperdermic
Underground.
Pile of hyperdermic needles. No, it's three stories up.
And then watch him on About a Boy. He'll be back in the fall on NBC.
That's right, October 14th.
There you go.
What's it about?
October 14th, just in time for people to start whipping up their About a Boy Halloween costumes.
Yeah, that's right.
Plenty just like all your favorite About a Boy characters.
Exactly.
They have, at Subway, they have an About a Boy kids meal.
They do.
You get a bag of all the characters on it. It's incredible.
How's the theme song for About a Boy
How does that go? I forgot. I'm
what
on
is this all about? What is it all about? I wanna scream and shout, this show's about a boy.
That's it. Fucking incredible.
I almost fell over laughing.
It almost happened.
Greg Proops is doing Smartest Man in the World podcast here at the festival.
Yeah.
Tomorrow at 3:15. You can also, if you're in Los Angeles within the sound of my voice, when does this plop, Doug?
Should be out tomorrow.
Awesome. Then Monday I'll be showing Bull Durham at the Cine Family at 7:30, where Doug has his movie show as well.
Yeah, and Greg Proops Film Club at Cine Family.
At the Cine Family.
CineFamily.org.
Perfect summertime movie.
Yeah. So if you're in L.A. Monday?
That's Monday.
Monday. And TJ's feverishly going through his phone right now.
You can watch. You can watch my podcast, Cashing In with TJ Miller.
Just listen to it.
You can just watch it. No, you can watch the little thing on the iTunes slowly go across till it's over. You can see me in Transformers 4. I'm on Silicon Valley on HBO.
I didn't know you were in that. Yeah.
Neither did I. And then I have a show at the San Diego Comedy Company.
What?
The American Comedy Company on Wednesday, July 30th. So you can
San Diego, that's a nice club. You'll have fun there.
It's a very nice club. And this plops when? Tomorrow?
Ish, yeah.
Tonight at 11:30 p.m. I have a show that you guys can all come to that's part of the festival. So please come and see that. And you can find my tour dates on my website, tjmillerdoesnothaveawebsite.com, or on Twitter at NotTJMiller.
Where may we purchase your pants?
Off of me right now, buddy. I'll sell the pants right off my dick.
Who wants to buy TJ's pants? This gentleman wants to bid. How much? $3.
No, he said $20?
She says 10. This is a terrible auction.
I am terrible at this. These cost so much.
I hear 10. I hear a quarter. I hear $4. I hear... Well, how much did you say? 20. That guy said 20.
The same thing that guy said.
So 25? Are you willing to go higher?
I didn't agree.
He's done. He's done. He's fucking got 20.
No,
now, is this Canadian or American?
She said 25.
25, she says. 30, she says. I'm the worst auctioneer ever.
I didn't agree to this.
30, 25 we have over here.
What size these are? They're too big for your britches.
$30.25 was bid over here. $30.25.
Sold.
40.
She's going 40. 40. Sorry, sir. There's a 40 over here.
And I didn't agree to this. And I won the game. This is my prize. I have to walk back to my hotel room in my underwear, meeting people from the industry the entire way.
Hey, dude, I said, where can I buy your pants, not can I buy your pants? And you're like, well, you can get them off me right off my dick now. And I think everybody wants to see that. And it's $40, which is more than you got paid for Transformers.
That's true. I made minimum wage on Transformers, SAG minimum.
Everyone did it for minimum
wage. Where's this person? I need you to write down a shithead for me to say, because you did not win today. But I will. I got
you
a pen.
Didn't even write down
I like that you said to me, do you have
knew
a pen?
We were going
to
win.
Yeah, I got a pen. Got this worked out. While she's signing the Rocky name tag, Sean, how did the theme song for Rocky 3 go?
Oh, it's fun to punch and it's fun to get punched, but let's go overseas and find a giant robot man to bring me to my knees.
Okay, that's Rocky Four.
Yeah, oh, Rocky Four.
What's Rocky Three? Oh, Clubber Lang.
I'm sorry
isn't
that
it?
I finally stumped you.
I pity the fool who's fighting me. I'm the guy called Mr. T. I've got gold and I've got bling, and punching people is my thing. Burgess Meredith dead.
Oh, spoiler. They spoil that in the theme song.
I know.
Oh, because he died in two? Or he died in three?
I died in three. Clubber Lang pushed him over.
Oh, fucking Clubber Lang.
Dick.
What do you got to plug, Sean? Sean Pod, your podcast.
I do my podcast on iTunes, and I've got a new book coming out in spring called Dreamland. And none of you would really want to read it, I imagine.
That's what else? It's doing for kids? Game. It's a kid's book?
It's a children's, like, you know, they call it young adult, but it sounds like porn for, you know, tweens, which isn't really
whenever
right.
I see it written out YA, I just go, yay!
Yeah. And then Match Game is still going on, which people seem to enjoy or not.
Oh,
I don't know.
I'm sure you're so funny on that Match Game program.
Yeah, bad it is. Yeah. Good, yeah.
Get
down in your seat.
Here, Lisa needs, she
what's
needs
happening?
To write a name on the back of Shithead. Her.
Oh, you didn't put a shithead on here?
That's her name.
That's her oh, it's name. Just her name. I was going to call you a shithead. Okay, go ahead and write one on there. That was, I really was like confused. Like, why did she put her own name on it? It's okay. I was going to do it, but...
Self-love is the hardest love.
Traitor.
I'm going to be doing another Doug Loves Movies in Madison, Wisconsin on August 3rd. And DougLovesMovies.com is where you go for all of my dates. Thank you guys so much. This was so much fun.
That's great.
One more big round of applause for all of my guests, Sean Cullen, Al Madrigal, Al Mumbles Madrigal, Greg Proops, and TJ. TJ, I won't sell my pants to anybody. Miller, you could have got $40 for those things. How much did you pay for them?
They were $350.
Oh, okay. Well,
these are real leaves that they've woven into the fabric.
It's like real estate rather than a pair of pants.
You gotta be careful in Canada. You could be attacked by a beaver when they see those pants, man. They're like, this is my natural habitat. I must gnaw your ankles until I fell you.
You and your fucking logging references. I love it!
And I hope to see some of you guys tomorrow night at the Interruption show. Some of these guys up here might be there too. And as always, and where do I begin? Stephen Harper is a shithead?
Yay!
Shit. I had a feeling I should have closed with that one. Is he a politician you don't enjoy?
He's the prime minister. Crack a
great,
fucking
great.
Newspaper, Doug.
Great. That's how I just exonerated myself for getting in trouble for that one. I don't even know his name.
He's Doug the head
hates
of the
info.
He's
why
the
did
head
you guys
the,
clap for that? He's disliked. He's the worst. Okay.
He's the head of the Canadian National Socialist Party. People don't realize that.
Am I going to get in trouble?
What about Bloc Québécois? You have no interest in that, then.
I don't think you're going to get in trouble. I think Canada doesn't have like a totalitarian government. They just, there's Tylenol.
You'd be surprised how mad Canada can get at you.
Yeah, we're working on it.
You'd be surprised.
We're working on it.
All right. Which one do you think I should finish with here, TJ, between this one?
That one.
Okay.
Cause then I'll
but that one's
yell.
Pretty good too, though.
That's a really good one. It's really up to you. It's your show. Every time I give you unwarranted advice, you get fucking pissed. And now you want me to figure out the closer at the largest comedy festival in the world.
And if you'd had
this
any
this closer
information.
Is so important. This better kill.
And
you
if
better.
You, and if you
better
get,
pick right.
And if you get one letter wrong, you lose.
I think I got this. Sad dad is a shithead.
Good one.
And Michael Bay is a shithead.
Treason! Traitors! Treason! Now it's time for Doug to watch another talkie. Eyes of gold is
makes it foggy. There's no room in it.